Hello there, everyone, and thanks for tuning in once again to the podcast on the Blind Geek Zone. Today, I'd like to do a podcast on the Roland TriCapture audio interface. We're going to split this podcast up into two parts. The first part is going to be describing the unit and explaining about what the buttons and knobs do and giving you a good description of where all the inputs are and stuff of that nature. And then the second part I'm going to do, the file is going to be in stereo because we've got the keyboards here and I've got a couple of guitars, and I'll next part will demonstrate and show you how it all sounds coming through the interface and show you what the knobs and buttons and everything do that this thing can do. Okay, let's just dive right on into it here. The Roland TriCapture audio interface can be gotten from Amazon for $129, or you can get it from Dancing Dots for $150. That includes shipping, and if you're in the United States, you are exempt from the sales tax, I believe. And when you get it from Dancing Dots, they will write out a descriptive text file describing the layout of the unit, where the buttons are, what the knobs do, and so on. Okay. Note, for those of you who are using Audacity, or maybe SoundForge, or even Goldwave, the audio interface will work with that, I believe. I believe it will work. I think so, because on my computer, it shows up as a direct default device, meaning that I can choose it as a speaker device. So if I go into the system tray and say, okay, I want to use this device instead of the laptop speakers, the speech and music and whatever else I run through, it will go through it. The interface installs a driver. It's an ACO driver. And it can be used with Reaper. I use it with Reaper. If you're using Audacity, that should work fine. If you want to use ACO with Audacity, you'll have to compile that to use compile Audacity to use ACO. And I'm not sure how you would go about doing that, but it can be done. All right, let's get on with the description here. We're going to start from the back interface. Now, the interface, the whole interface itself, it's not that quite big. If I stick my hand on the top of it, and I stretch my thumb and my pinky, when I'm right in the middle of it, my fingers can almost reach, can touch the corners or the sides of the interface. It doesn't weigh that much. I'm not very good at describing measurements and pounds and all that, so I'm trying to give a best description. Okay, and it's not that very big. It doesn't take up much room. It can just sit on a shelf or whatever. I've got it sitting on top of a Motif ES rack right now. Okay, let's describe the inputs. The first input on the back of the unit is for mic, the mic jack. It takes an XLR cable for your microphones. The next input is a guitar quarter inch, a guitar input, which takes a quarter inch jack. The next two inputs correspond to each other. These are RCA line-in jacks. You have the input for the left channel and the input for the right channel. These two correspond together. So there's two of those. The next input after that is the USB input. And by the way, just a quick note that this comes with no AC adapter. It is powered all by your computer. So all you need to do is plug it in the USB port into the computer and then install the driver and you're good to go. The next two inputs, again, are balanced outputs for powered speakers. You have your left channel for left speaker and the right input for the right speaker. And those are balanced outputs. The last input on here is for the headphones, for a headphone dial, and that's also a quarter-inch jack. And the speaker inputs, the balanced left and right speaker inputs I was telling you about before the headphone jack are also quarter-inch jacks. Alright, let's move to the top side of the interface. On the top side of the interface, we've got, let's see, one, two, three buttons on the top. They're all, some of them are kind of spaced apart. We have knobs. And after the third knob, we've got another button, and then we have another knob. And we'll explain what those do. Okay, starting at the top of the interface, the first button we have is the Phantom Power button. Now, it is very important to take note that if you do not have a Phantom Power, a mic that supports Phantom Power, do not push this button. And these buttons are easy to push because there is a little click when you push them. They actually push in, and you can feel them. So if I just push this button here, push one of these buttons, you can hear that there's a little click sound. Pushed it in, and now we're going to push it out. Push it out. Yeah, while I'm doing this, the computer is not, it's not plugged into the computer, so it's not going to hurt anything. Okay, on to Phantom Power. That is the button for Phantom Power. If this button is pushed in while a microphone that is plugged into the XLR jack that does not support Phantom Power, there will be a problem. You will fry the mic and the cable that is connected to the mic. So if your mic does not support Phantom Power, you want to make sure that this button is not pushed in. Because if it is pushed in, it will actually fry your microphone, even if you just plug it in for a second and you notice that it's on. And then that would be too late. You do not want to make sure that this button is all times out, not in, not pushed in. You want to make sure that it's up if your mic doesn't support Phantom Power. Now, if it does and it needs Phantom Power, then you can push it in and do that, and then it'll work. All right, the next, we're going to go below that, is a volume knob. It's a little dial for the microphone input, the XLR cable. And there is an actual, there is a little pointer thing. It's kind of a, it's almost raised, but it's a little pointer thing, so you can kind of tell where you are in the knob. It's right about on the front side of the knob. You'll feel it if you start feeling around the knob. It's kind of a raised, I don't know how to explain it, kind of a little bump. And you'll be able to identify about that. The next button on the interface is the high Z input. This this button is for directly connecting a guitar to the interface, which you can do when you push this button in. It's on. When you unpush it or let it up or push it again and it comes out, it's off. Now below that is the volume knob for the guitar input. And next, there is no button. After that, the third volume knob is the knob for the line in, the RCA jacks for line in inputs. Okay, moving on. There is a button right next to the volume knob that controls the RCA line input. This button is called Rec Mode, and there are three options. The first option is, guitar/mic input, which those can be used only in that input. If you push the button again, this button doesn't click, so if you push it once, you're in guitar/mic mode. If you push it again, you're then using all inputs. And if you push it one more time, you're using loopback, which means it will have any, if you're using a screen reader like NVDA, it will actually route the speech to the interface so that you can have all that going and hear that. This button is not, it's actually a push-in button, but it doesn't have a click like these other ones do. It just does that. And the next button after that is for monitoring the input. When it's pushed out, it's off. When it's pushed in, it is on. And you'll know that it's working correctly when you can hear that you're whatever you're monitoring. The button above that is for muting the output. If you have powered speakers and you don't want to hear the output, just hit that. It will mute it, and push it again, it will unmute it. The last volume knob on the interface is the master volume knob. This controls the whole loudness of the interface. And that's pretty much it. That's all there is to it. In the next part, we will show you some cool things in stereo, because I'm going to be recording. And there is a driver that installs with the interface, and it's easily accessible. And I'll show you that as well with NVDA. Okay, so if you'd like to, come on and join me for the next part at taking a look at the Roland TriCapture.